Welcome to the Profit Business Cast, Canada's podcast for innovative entrepreneurs and executives. And brought to you by Bennett Gold LLP Chartered Accountants. Here is your host, Robert Gold.
Once again, from high atop the Business Cast Podcast Center in Toronto, live and in the morning, we're way off to the west. I can see the buzziest place in Canada, Starbuck, Manitoba. I'm Robert Gold, Managing Partner of Bennett Gold LLP, Chartered Accountants in Toronto, and this podcast is produced in partnership with Profit Magazine and ProfitGuide.com. Today, you're going to be as excited as I am. Hermy Abraham is back with us. Hermy is an employment law lawyer, lawatwork.ca. We've got a great topic for you. Hermy, welcome back to the Profit Business Cast.
Thank you very much, Robert. Thanks for having me.
So, Hermy, lawatwork.ca, this is what you do. You are an employment law lawyer. Let's, at a high level, let's tell our listeners, in fact, what does an employment law lawyer do?
Well, essentially, we're workplace lawyers, and we help employees and employers alike solve any problems, any matter of problems that might arise in the workplace. Personally, myself, I have 17 years of experience, both as a human resources professional and as an employment lawyer, so I've pretty much seen and resolved most employment law issues, and I've also seen changes in the workforce generally.
Well, I can attest to your great work, because at our firm at BennettGold.ca, we have engaged you in the past. We've always been happy with the results. Lawatwork.ca. But today, we're talking about what I like to call the modular, you like to call the just-in-time workforce. And I observe this in a lot of our clients and a lot of the industries they're in, particularly in the entertainment industry and the production industry. Everybody's on contract. Let's start talking a little bit about this just-in-time workforce. What is it, and how long has this been a trend?
Well, just-in-time has been around and used in manufacturing, mostly with production. So manufacturers would have their goods brought in when they needed it. And this concept is now being used in terms of labor. So labor costs, as you know from helping your clients, tends to be the largest business expense. So in a just-in-time model, it reduces labor costs by hiring a contingent workforce. And those can be contractors, part-time workers, casual or freelance workers, so hiring them when the needs of the business arise rather than having a full-time permanent staff. And as you said, it's typically used in a lot of project-based roles or workplaces, and you see this often in IT as well, and for businesses that have a cycle to them. And although just-in-time has been around since time immemorial, since the recession in 2008, we have seen a rise in this type of model in the workplace.
No, I can see, and I do see in this, in Toronto, I see a lot of this contract work, a lot of the just-in-time workforce. But if we go to the smaller centers, is there enough of a population base, or is there enough of the call for this type of workforce, or is this a big city issue or advantage?
I don't think it's a big city issue or advantage. In fact, I think that the advent of the World Wide Web has made work far more global. So you can find even a contract worker who might be based in Buctouche, New Brunswick, who might be able to supply services to an employer in another center, another part of Canada. It is not at all just based in the big centers. It's based on need. And provided that employers can find these workers and workers can find the engagement, you're going to find these work arrangements.
Now, I want to just dig into that just a little bit further. So when you use the web to find contract workers, you're generally talking about IT or online projects, whether entertainment industry for graphic artists or a software coder. But if we look a little further, we look at, say, cyclical businesses where there is a need for a temporary workforce, is it your experience at most centers that there are employees and are employers that this is happening?
Absolutely. And again, as I said, since the recession in 2008, Statistics Canada can show this, that there has been a large reduction of the workforce, the full-time permanent workers. So there is a pool of labor out there, and you are finding that these people are finding more, I would say, creative ways of working, and one of them is the just-in-time contingent workforce. So yes, you are finding it in large centers, and where there are large layoffs, people who are moving in and filling in as a contingent worker.
So I think it's pretty obvious to everybody what the benefits are to the employers, the whole idea of just-in-time inventory, just-in-time HR resources. It's a terrific opportunity. For employees, at least they can continue working because the marketplace has changed. But let's talk about the risks. What risks do you see for both sides of the scale? Let's talk first about the risks to employers.
I think that the biggest risk is ensuring that you have available workforce when you need it. And part of that is being really smart of knowing when the ebbs and flows of your business happen. And you know, there's lots of software that can help in sort of predicting that. But that's the biggest risk, having a need and not having the workforce to be able to accompany that need. The second risk I see for employers is worker engagement and succession planning. And specifically what I mean is employees who are full-time permanent or even part-time permanent have a loyalty to their employer. Even though the loyalty might have changed over the years, there is still a measure of loyalty. And so there is a sense of we're in this together, we're going to try to work together. When you have a contingent workforce who comes and goes and has many other employers that they're working with, you're not going to get that same level of loyalty. And if in future your needs change that you do need to have a full-time resource, you might not be able to have that. Those are the two biggest risks I see for employers.
How about risk to the employees?
Well, the risks to employees are quite obvious. I think that the biggest one is the fact that the work can be very unstable. And in some situations, it might be lower paying. And I think that we're finding this a lot, especially within the millennial generation that are really having a hard time finding that permanent job that they can kind of grow and develop in. And so there's going to be lack of development and also the risk of not having stable work moving forward. The second biggest risk, I think, for employees, and it kind of dovetails on what I last said, is the safety net. So when these employees are not working, they do not have a safety net under them, although the program has changed under employment insurance. They might not be able to get benefits, so they're able to continue to participate in some kind of program that gives them income. And they don't have health and dental benefits unless they purchase these separately for themselves. In the long-term retirement planning, there is no pension, and so they have to be very diligent in these particular areas.
I'll tell you what troubles me about this whole concept, and that is if we look at past generations, and I know everything has changed, if we look at past generations, people didn't necessarily in North America have jobs for life like they might have had in the past in Japan and in other countries in Asia. But we did have career path, and you would go to an employer for 1 or 2 or 3 years, then you'd leverage your skills or the marketplace, you go to another employer. And my experience has always been that individuals had two career changes, the first big one to get them somewhere else, and then the defining career change. Now people don't tend to have that opportunity. They go from contract to contract. That leads me to wonder, is this whole thing even sustainable? And what might the effects be on, let's say, the Canadian economy, where nobody has job career paths? They just have contract after contract after contract. What are your thoughts?
Well, I do think that just-in-time is sustainable and, if done right, has lots of benefits for both employers and employees. And specifically with employees, even though they might have contract to contract, there might be a greater chance to work on projects that are of greater scope. So you're not necessarily doing your time in an organization, but are being hired into projects that are going to give you more experience. It also gives employees a lot of flexibility in terms of the way they want to work. People who are looking for work-life balance, flexible, just-in-time workforce gives them a greater opportunity to be able to employ a measure of work-life balance so they can take care of other commitments that they might have outside of their professional life. But I agree with you that there are some troubling or worrying effects on the economy. And I think the three biggest ones are, one, full-time permanent employees are good for our economy. Workers are consumers. And so without job stability, somebody's not going to spend. And without spending, it's going to have a chilling effect on our economy generally. So there's also the issue of, as I mentioned before, the lack of benefits or a safety net for people who are not working as a full-time employee. That's going to put more pressure on the government to be able to be there to create the safety net. Like I said, we've seen this with some changes recently. Employment insurance now has made benefits available to self-employed people if they're going on maternity leave where that didn't exist before, or sick leave or compassionate care leave. In Ontario, we're looking at pension reform for the government to be able to provide a greater safety net for people when they retire. But the third issue is the biggest one, I think, that will threaten just-in-time working, and that is a predicted shortage in the workforce when the baby boomers retire. And at that time, there will be an intense war for talent, and those organizations that do have a stable workforce and have been able to invest in a stable workforce will have the resources to continue to move forward.
Oh boy, a lot to watch out for. Let's get really practical now. What should we consider? What are the three things that our employer listeners across the country should consider if they, in fact, want to properly and practically implement a just-in-time, or as I like to say, modular workforce?
I have three things. I'm going to talk about two for the employers and two for the employees and a shared one for both. So starting with the employers, one thing that they need to do is understand the demands of your business and when you need to scale up and scale down. Ensure that you have available pool of skilled workers who will be able to meet these ebbs and flows in the business. Just don't assume that if I build this modular workforce or just-in-time workforce, then the workers will come. They might, but why take the risk and not have somebody there to be able to service the needs of your clients? Second is succession planning. Again, keep an eye on the future. Invest in your employees and when you need to have a strong employee base. So when there is a shortage of labor, you will have a good complement in your workforce that is committed and will be able to help you move forward with your business goals. As far as employees are concerned, the first one I say, and you probably would agree, is meet with a financial planner, get an accountant, have someone who can help you look through the expenses of your business, both on a short-term basis and a long-term, in anticipating your retirement. It's important that workers are pricing their services appropriately so they are measuring these ebbs and flows and they understand what the costs are for them to run the business. So that's the biggest one I say for anybody who's looking to become a contingent worker. It's probably not something they would think of initially, but it's probably the biggest and most important step. And the second is establish a pipeline. Easier said than done, but thankfully these days with the technology, again, there are lots of virtual marketplaces where you can find freelance work. So ensure that you have a pipeline so you can balance the times and be also more busy in the long term. As far as the one that I think is important for both employees or workers and employers alike is ensuring that you are properly characterizing the legal relationship. And this is where I come in. I normally see the side effects when the relationship has been improperly characterized. And so I always say that ahead of time, make sure that you have a contract that clearly articulates the relationship that you have, how this person's going to work, when they're going to work, what they're going to be paid, what's included, what's excluded, the fact that they're a contract, and make sure that your practices also reflect that they are a, you know, contingent worker and not necessarily an employee. So those would be my top three for both employer and employee.
Well, I think it's fantastic. Again, Hermy Abraham, employment law lawyer, lawatwork.ca. Use her. She knows her stuff. Thank you, Hermy, for being a guest on the Profit Business Cast again.
Thank you so much, Robert. It's been an absolute pleasure.
And until next time, I'm Robert Gold, Managing Partner of Benegold LLP, Chartered Accountants in Toronto. If you want to know how to get scope and perspective on your modular or just-in-time workforce, give me a shout. Check us out at benegold.ca. You can find other great episodes of the Profit Business Cast at profitguide.com. See you next time in the morning, everyone, and good night sleeping, Starbucks, Manitoba.
You've been listening to the Profit Business Cast, Canada's business podcast, and brought to you by Bennett Gold LLP Chartered Accountants. From acceleration to succession, strategy to tax planning, there's a lot more through the door at bennettgold.ca.